I want to talk to you this morning about a word called nevertheless. We can go ahead and put the slide on up, my brother. And I started a series a couple of Sunday nights ago about this word. Say that word, nevertheless. Now, it's not a word we use a lot anymore, but it's found throughout the Bible. You'll come across that word, nevertheless. It's not a word we use, but it's a truth that we can use. And what it really means is, however, yet, notwithstanding, or in spite of. I really like that. In other words, when we hear the word nevertheless, it means things are about to change. It means God is up to something. It means it ain't over till it's over. It means don't give up. It means the devil is defeated. It means it may look hopeless, but nevertheless, God is up to something. I might have been diagnosed with something, but nevertheless, the Lord can bring healing. I might have been laid off from my job, but nevertheless, the Lord will take care of me. Can you say that word, nevertheless? I want to talk about that word the next few times that I preach. I'll be preaching tonight, next Sunday morning. And I want, and by the way, Brother Elam Johnson is preaching Wednesday night. You don't want to miss that. And so that'll be next Wednesday. But nevertheless, I want to talk to you about the nevertheless of prayer. The nevertheless of His coming. How many of you know He is about to return? The nevertheless of hope, that we have hope even in a hopeless situation. And also the nevertheless of the Spirit. Jesus said, I tell you, it's expedient that I go away. So we're going to talk about that. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the nevertheless of salvation. Would you stand with me one more time and go to Psalms 106, verses 7 through 12. Psalms 106. Verses 7 through 12. If you're glad to be here this morning, say amen. Amen. By the way, speaking of baby dedications, I've seen them done so many different ways. But years ago, I saw a preacher call the entire family up. I thought that was so impressive because you're really not just dedicating a baby, you're dedicating the whole family. So thank the Lord for that. And if you have some family that have a newborn and would like for us to do that, you let us know, because we want to touch people with the gospel, and we thank the Lord for the new babies that He's given so many of us. That's why we believe in life. Amen. We are pro-life. It's nothing to do with politics. We are pro-life. We believe that every baby has a potential, and we believe God can use them in a mighty way. Say amen. Amen. Psalm 106, 7 through 12. It says, our fathers understood not your wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of your mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Verse 8. But what? Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. Verse 9. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. Verse 10. And he did what? He saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed him from the hand of the enemy. Verse 11, and the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. And then they believed his words. They sang his praise. Can we go back to verse number 8? Verse number 8. Just let me know if you can do that. Nevertheless, he saved them. The nevertheless of salvation. Father, anoint your servant to preach the word today, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. And as you're being seated, tell someone that you're glad to see him this morning. Nevertheless, he saved them. In our text this morning, the psalmist is going back in history. You remember the story. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. Pharaoh made them slaves. All of those people were in bondage and slavery from sunup to sundown, from daybreak to backbreak. God didn't want people in slavery, and so he sent Moses. And they came out of Egypt. How many of you remember that story, the Ten Commandments? They came out of Egypt, and they were on their way until they came to what? The Red Sea. And the problem was that none of them had taken swimming lessons. And so Pharaoh was now going to kill them. Here they were, their wives, their husbands, their children, their grandchildren, their families, their fortunes. Everything they had seemed to be about to be destroyed. The Red Sea, there were no bridges, no boats, no ferries. There was no way they could get across. And Pharaoh was behind them, ready to kill them. Sounds like an impossible situation, doesn't it? Sounds like that all hope is lost, doesn't it? Sounds like that they're in a predicament, does it? But here's where something changes. The Bible says that they were about to be destroyed, but nevertheless, say that with me, nevertheless, he rescued them. How did he do it? Did he create a boat? No. Did he create a bridge? No. He split those waters. You say, do you really believe the Bible and those miracles? Brother, sister, I believe it word for word. He split the Red Sea, and they went not through mud. They went through on dry ground. And when they got over the Red Sea, guess who came behind them? Pharaoh. And guess what God did? He let the waters go back. He saved them. I'm so glad God can save us. I'm so glad it can look like an impossibility, but He is the God that can make a way where there seems to be. You may be unemployed, but nevertheless, you may have been diagnosed with a sickness, but nevertheless, you may be lost this morning and think God can't possibly love me. I've sinned too much, but nevertheless, He will save you. Is anybody saved this morning? Why don't you just lift your hand and praise Him? That nevertheless, He saved you. Can you say amen this morning? Now, salvation is the most important thing of your life. I want to say that again. Being saved, knowing Jesus Christ, it is the most important thing of your life. Now, who you marry is important, but not the most important. Your 401k and financial security is important, but not the most important. Having your oil changed every 3,000 miles is important, but not the most important. You know, having your car insured so easy that a caveman can do it is important, but not the most important. Diet and exercise is important, but not the most important. Listen, not forgetting your wife's anniversary or birthday, how many of you know that's important? Amen. But even that is not the most important. The most important thing for you is not education, finances, relationship, possessions, money. The most important thing for you is this: when you die, that you know that you're going to be saved. Somebody say amen this morning. Amen. Salvation. Now, when I think about how wonderful that is to know that at any moment, if I should pass away any moment, that I know. You see, a lot of people, do you think you would go to heaven? Do you know that you would go to heaven? Well, I sure hope so. But I'm going to tell you, nevertheless, that you can know so. And boy, I remember before I got saved, I didn't want to get saved because I like doing things that I probably shouldn't be doing. And I was hanging around some kids at school, and the Lord was dealing with me, and Granny was taking me to church, and I knew I needed to get saved, but I knew if I got saved, I'd have to give up some things, and I didn't really want to give them up, and it wasn't terrible things, but it was sin to me. And I remember I just didn't want to get saved. And finally, I got saved. And the minute I got saved, it was like, wow, this was good. Why did I wait so long? I'll tell you, the minute you give your life to Jesus, you'll regret all the days that you had put it off. Amen? And isn't salvation wonderful? Isn't it just the greatest thing? And I know they're like, well, if I win the lottery, boy, that's going to be the greatest thing. Let me tell you something. If you get to know Jesus, I promise you, it's greater than winning any earthly money. It's better than drugs, alcohol. It's better than anything. Am I talking to anybody that knows what I'm saved, and it's wonderful. It is just glorious. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm forgiven. And it's wonderful to be saved. And I talk to people. I'll tell people at work. I'll tell people in church. I say, why don't you get saved? Why don't you give your heart to the Lord? What's holding you back? It's so wonderful. And they just won't do it. Sometimes they won't do it. And I've said, why? Why? And I have come up with about 5 reasons why some people have not yet given their life to the Lord, not yet gotten saved. 5 reasons that I thought, it's so good. What's keeping you back? And I thought about point number one. Point number one is the surrender factor. You see, some people aren't saved or don't give their life to the Lord because they're afraid they have to give up something that they really like, some habit. I just told you some things that I was dealing with. Maybe smoking, alcohol, drugs, sexual promiscuity, friends. Garth Brooks, I got friends in low places. Come on now. Don't let those friends keep you, I promise you. Friends are friends if they help you find Jesus. Come on now, amen. But listen, surrender. You mean I have to surrender? Yes, there's some things you may have to give up. Now, I'm not saying that you've got to give up this or that or smoking or that these are things. I'm just saying that you've got to be willing to give up anything. Well, preacher, I've got a relationship. But listen, will you be willing to give all up? Would you be willing to surrender all for that wonderful thing called salvation? Because here's the thing. You're looking at what you're surrendering. You're looking at putting down this or stopping this or whatever or breaking up with that. But friend, the thing that what you're missing is what you gain in return. Oh, I remember I had friends, and I know some of my friends were not a good influence on me, and I wanted to be with my friends. But I remember that I gave up my friends, and for a while I didn't seem to have friends, but God gave me some new friends, and there is no greater friend than the Lord. Amen? Amen. Surrender. Give it up. Compared to drugs, man, give up those drugs for Jesus. Give up whatever, houses, lands, brethren. Give up everything for the Lord. It will be worth it to surrender. Let me tell you, alcohol's terrible for you. It destroys brain cells. Listen, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to tell you that I'm better than you are because of that. I'm just telling you what alcohol does. It causes things to be said and done. And drugs, they destroy your body. In fact, there's a sermon. I saw a sign at Cracker Barrel one time. And it said, "What part of thou shalt not don't you understand?" You know, when God says, "Thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that," you know, what part of it don't you understand? That was at Cracker Barrel. I used to have that sign in my office here at the church. And I preached a sermon on that. Because let me tell you something. When God says no to something, listen to me. When God says don't do something, it's for your good. If he says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," let me tell you something. It's for your good. It's for your family's good. If he says, "Thou shalt not covet," or "Thou shalt not kill, steal, or bear false witness," I promise you, it's for your good and for his glory. You need to surrender all. The songwriter said, "I surrender all." When you do, nevertheless, he will save you, and you'll be so glad that you did. Anybody glad that they surrendered all this morning? Sexual promiscuity, habits. And then number two, some people don't get saved not only because of the surrender factor, but because of the morality factor. What do you mean by that? There's a lot of people that don't get saved because, quite frankly, they don't think they need to be saved. Me? Oh, I'm a good guy. I'm a good fella. I give to the fish fry, and I'm not, I'm better than a lot of people to go to church. Have you heard that one before? And truth is, you might be. Some people I've gone to church with at times. Pastor, I'm not Adolf Hitler. You know, I'm not a genocide. I'm not a Jeffrey Dahmer. How many of you, some of you young people don't remember. There's a guy named Jeffrey Dahmer, and he did some terrible thing. How many of you remember the Jeffrey Dahmer? I mean, he's terrible. Well, I'm not Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm not Adolf Hitler. I'm not Osama bin Laden. But look at Psalm 51 in verse 5. It says this, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Do you realize that we are all born sinners? Out of the womb. Do you know that you don't have to teach a child to do wrong? You have to teach them to do what? And I'm not going to say anything about Grayson, because there's no way she could do any wrong, right? Can a child like that do anything wrong? Well, I know Grayson's a part of my family, and eventually she's gonna test the limits. Amen. She's gonna do it one day. We're all done it. Ashley did it when she was a little girl. Oh, glory to God, her mother. I was there. I experienced it. I know when she bit us and all that stuff. I'm just kidding. But we're born sinners. So you think, well, I don't need to be saved. Yes, you do. You may not be terrible things like Jeffrey Dahmer or Osama bin Laden, but we all have sinned. And be honest, can't we all say that we've sinned at least one time in our life? Sure we have. And, well, God understands that. Yes, He does understand that. And He must judge that. He must punish that. He is not a righteous judge. You've got to understand that God, go to Romans 3, verse 23. It says, for all have sinned. Turn around to somebody, that includes you. For all have sinned. Have you got it? Romans 3, 23. Can we leave it up there for a minute? Romans 3, 23. Have you got it? I see your thumbs up. Amen. For all have sinned. And go to Exodus 34 and verse 7. Exodus 34 and verse 7 says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and he will by no means clear the guilty. You don't like it when judges let people off the hook when they're guilty. Come on, that's judges like that all the time, and they need to be removed from the office. And God is God. He's a judge. He must judge sin, and even one sin. He is so holy, so righteous. Please understand, He's not just a granddaddy sitting on the beach up there saying, "Dude, what's up?" He is the judge of the universe, and we must appear before Him. Do you really believe we're going to be judged? Yes, we are. And listen. Either if you're wrong, you're dangerously wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm harmlessly wrong. If there is no judge, then I'll be okay anyway. But if there is a judge and I don't prepare, then I'm in big trouble. But there will be a judgment day. But listen, here's the good thing. I've sinned so much. I've done so much wrong. But listen, nevertheless, He will save you. Glory to God. He will save you. I don't care how many sins you've committed. All you've got to do is say, "Lord, forgive me." And not only forgive me, but Lord, I surrender my life to you, and I tell you, you might even dance a little bit like we do here at Westmoreland. Nevertheless, He will save you because He will take your sins and He will forgive you. Don't think that you're just a good person. We all have sinned and come short of the glory. Listen, the Sunday school teacher asked her class of little boys and little girls, "What's the difference between the sin of commission and the sin of omission?" And the little boy replied, "I know the sin of omission is the sins you meant to commit but didn't get around to doing it." Not only are there sins we've done, but there's also sins of things we leave undone. People think of adultery and fornication and things like that as sin. But gossip is a sin. Failing to serve God fully is a sin. Did you know that the greatest commandment is this? Love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, soul, and... Has anybody reached that? Not yet. So anything less than that, we need to be saved. I'm relying on His mercy. Brother Ricky, are you saying that you don't ever sin? I'm telling you, I struggle just like everybody else does, but here's the difference. I give my heart to the Lord, and when I mess up and when I sin, I say, "God, forgive me." And how many of you know He will forgive every sin? He is the judge, but let me tell you what else. He's also the judge that allowed His Son to take the penalty for your sin. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Thank the Lord that He has and will save us. Can you say amen this morning? The worst form of badness is human goodness if it keeps you from coming to the Lord. That pride of, "I don't need the Lord." Oh, we need Jesus. We need Him desperately. We need Him now. Number three, why don't people get saved? Not only because of the surrender factor, they don't feel like they want to give up something. Not only because of the morality factor, they feel like maybe they don't need to be saved. But number three, some people don't get saved because of the bondage factor. And this ties in a little bit. In other words, there's a habit that you have. And there's people in our church this morning, I'm not going to call their names, but they had terrible life-threatening habits, drugs and different things. And I could point to some of them this morning, and they could tell you that had they continued on that road, and they wanted to be free, but they couldn't be free. But the only freedom that they found was in Jesus. Have you ever Have you ever seen and listen to me, I say this with compassion, people that are hooked on cocaine, methamphetamines and stuff like that, or maybe even prescription drugs. Have you seen them try to break free from that? Have you seen these Hollywood celebrity types check into rehab only later on to go right back to it? There's a missing factor there. What is the missing factor? Jesus is the missing factor. Because you can't talk your way out of bondage. You can't reason. Your flesh is not strong enough. But if you'll put Jesus in there, and if you'll ask the Lord to come, you may have a slip up, you may fail, but I promise you, He will set the captive free. He will set the captive free. Can you say amen this morning? Oh, my friend, don't let a bondage, don't let a habit. You say, well, I've had people to come to me and they said, preacher, I've messed up so much. There's no way I can be saved. You're opposite from morality. You're in the category of, if you knew all the stuff that I've done, there's no way God could save me. No, no. I don't care how much you've messed up, how far down you've gotten. I don't care how much you've sinned. I thought about old Mel Trotter. He was the biggest town alcoholic. And he wouldn't support his children. And his little girl died. He comes staggering in, and there was a little casket. Didn't care for his little girl, didn't provide for his little girl. And while nobody was looking, he reached in the casket, got the little girl's little shoes that they were going to bury her with, put them in his pocket. Nobody was looking. And he went and sold them for alcohol. Now, how many of you know that's pretty low? But he walked by a church, and he heard somebody singing a gospel hymn. Maybe it was Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a... I once was, but now I'm found. Woo, I felt a running streak just then. We Pentecostals, we crazy folks, ain't we? I tell you what, our churches, we crazy. Crazy for the Lord. How can you not get excited? You get excited at a ball game. You get excited when the Dallas Cowboys win, I hope. Amen. Or the Duke Blue Devils. Oh, I've done lost some of you now, haven't I? You get excited when they, you know, win. But let me tell you, why don't you get excited that he saved? Nevertheless, he saved. Hey, Mel Trotter got saved and became a great preacher. I don't care how far down you've gone. The woman caught in the act of adultery. She was caught in the act of adultery. And those Pharisees, they threw her in front of Jesus. They didn't even have any clothes on. They were trying to embarrass her. They got the woman, but they didn't get the man. How many of you know the man is just as guilty? How terrible that is to blame just the woman. And they said the law says we should stone her. But nevertheless, Jesus said, I'm not going to stone her. And he looked at her and said, you don't have to sin anymore. I can forgive you and you're free. Oh, thank the Lord that he sets us free from bondages this morning. There is a living Jesus. Why aren't you saved? Because of the surrender factor, because of the morality factor, because of the bondage factor. I'm too far gone. I've done blew all that out of the water. Number four, and I'm going to start to begin to wrap this up, okay? But number four, why aren't some people saved? It's because of the faith factor. I talk to some people and say, hey, when I work at Best Buy full-time, and I work with a lot of 20-somethings. And you would be surprised. A lot of them don't even know the Lord. They've never been to church. They don't know what the Bible is. You know where they get all their information from? TV and movies and the History Channel and stuff like that. That just twist everything. And I'll say, well, why don't you get saved? Why don't you give your life to the Lord? They'll say, well, I don't believe in God. You know what? Well, why don't you believe in God? Well, there's so many religions. Who's right? How do you say your religion is right? And I'm like, oh, now I'm on with that. That's easy. That's easy. And you know what I tell them? I tell them this. I'm like, well, I don't believe in religions either. Well, let me tell you this. Let me put it to you like this. So Hinduism says you've got to live a good life. And if not, you come back as a worm. Come on. Shintoism is praying to inanimate objects. Islam says you must pray. Did you know I studied Islam? So I've even have the Quran on my Kindle. So people say, well, you don't know. I know this stuff. I've looked it out. I want to know. I have no problem. If you can defeat Christianity, you try your best. But I promise you this. Nevertheless, there's an empty tomb. I'll tell you right now, that's what proves that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Muhammad is still in the grave. Buddha died of food poisoning. I want to tell you all these religions are just that, religions. You got to do a little better. If you're Islam, you got to. Here's a good chance in Islam for you to get to heaven. You can't be guaranteed heaven, but here's how to help you. If you'll let one of your sons die in jihad, that is a truth. I'm not saying this is not. Those guys on 9/11, they happily flew those planes because they were told some lie that if they died for their God, that He would take them to heaven. Can I tell you that you don't have to die for our God? You don't have to send your sons for our God. God sent His Son for us. Oh, my friend, there is a God who made the sun, the moon, the stars. They didn't just get up there by happenstance or accident. Well, I believe in the Big Bang. Well, I do too. God said, let there be light. Bang, and there it was. Well, it took millions and billions of years. Well, that's all right, too, because a day with the Lord is as a thousand. There is a God. I feel Him in this house this morning. Your conscience tells you you're just trying to talk yourself out of it. Listen to the preacher this morning. And nevertheless, He'll take your doubts and He'll make a believer. Oh, I'm a believer. Hallelujah. Anybody in here a believer this morning? Give Him a hand of praise here this morning. Amen. Every religion, and there's some forms of Christianity that are so called, Lord have mercy, what about the Crusades and stuff like that? That won't real Christians. Real Christians don't kill and enslave people back in the 1800s. That weren't real Christianity. Quit watching TV. This is a bunch of political stuff. Let me tell you how slavery ended in America. You know how it ended in America? On the knees of praying Christians who said, we must not have it in these lands. And William Wilberforce in England, they freed and ended slavery before we did. And it didn't happen with a shot fired. It happened with a preacher and a church. It is Christianity that's given us the hospital. It's Christianity that's given us public schools. It was Christian scientists that gave us the cure for diseases. It is Christians that'll fly to earthquake areas where people are suffering. It is the old rugged cross. It's not Christians that are not the problem. We're the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. We love people. We don't even care. Even if you say you live a certain lifestyle, we still love you. But we'll love you enough to tell you that He, nevertheless, He will save you. Don't you love Him this morning? Well, I'm trying to be dignified, but I'm just sorry I can't do it. Got all my family here, and I'm trying to behave myself. I'm just getting tore all up this morning. I love Jesus. I tell those folks at Best Buy, you might not believe in God, but He believes in you. And finally, oh, and everybody was ready for that, right? Number five, why aren't some people saved? Let's go through it. The surrender factor. Just don't want to surrender. The morality factor. Think you're okay and good. The bondage factor. I've got done too bad. Or the faith factor. I really don't know if I believe in a God with all the religions in the world. But the fifth reason is the time factor. You probably know. Yeah. I really do need to give my life to the Lord. I'm not really going to church. I'm not reading the Bible. I'm just trusting on my own goodness. I'm a good girl, good boy, good guy. But you really haven't fully given your life to Jesus. And you can't be a half disciple. So here's the final thing that people wait on. It's the time factor. Well, I've got plenty of time. I'm young. One of these days, when I get old and gray-headed and in the nursing home, I'll call for a preacher. You might not make it to the nursing home. I'll be 48 this year. 48. I know. I don't look it. But I'll be 48 this year. But I'll open the paper in the obituary. And there'll be 48-year-olds. 50-year-olds. Teenagers. The truth is, we don't know how much time we've got. The Bible says in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, and as the Apostle Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment, Felix trembled and said, go your way for this time, for when I have a convenient season, I will call for you. Felix heard the gospel, trembled. Some of you this morning, you feel it, you know it. And Felix, you're going to do what Felix says. Well, I'm going to just take care of it later. No, take care of it now. Now, I heard about Amelia Lynch, and I'm closing. In just a moment, I'm going to give an altar call, and I'm going to ask you to come forward. But right now, Amelia Lynch was walking down the streets of New York City when a flower pot fell off a ledge in the upper story building. On the 8th floor window ledge, a flower pot was sitting there. It fell down, struck her on the head, and she died. So here she is walking down the street. Flower pot hits her head. She's dead. What happened was a freak lightning had hit it. Amelia Lynch, true story. Harold Lee Duncan was mowing his grass. His children and his wife were watching him, and suddenly grabbed his side and fell to the earth and died. His lawnmower, what had happened, had picked up a half-inch piece of wire, no bigger than the end of a pencil lead, and it somehow ricocheted from cutting the grass and hit his heart, and he died. And then in the Philippines, Carlos Umbos was fishing. Some of you like to fish, so remember this. And he opened his mouth to yawn. Brother Tom, he yawned while he was fishing. And a fish jumped out of the water, lodged into his throat. He suffocated before they could get the fish out. Let me tell you something. Time. It is time today. Now. Not another week. Not another year. Right now. The Lord is calling you. I want to close with this. I thought about this baby dedication. Brother Clark, if you'll come and just be on standby. But I want you to listen to this for this baby dedication and this sermon today about nevertheless he saved them. And I've ran across this in my notes. And the title of this is Are All the Children In? And it goes like this. I think oft times as the night draws nigh of an old house on the hill, of a yard all wide and blossom starred, where the children played at will. And when the night at last came down, hushing the merry din, mother would look around and ask, are all the children in? 'Tis many and many a year since then, the old house on the hill no longer echoes to childish feet, and the yard is still, so still. But I see it all as the shadows creep, as though many the years have been. Since then, I can still hear my mother ask, are all the children in? I wonder if when the shadows fall on our last short earthly day, when we say goodbye to the world outside, all tired with our childish play, when we step into that other land where mother so long has been, will we hear her ask just as of old, are all the children in? Are all the children in this morning? Children, are you in with Jesus? Do you know that you know? Don't let these five things hold you back. Nevertheless, he wants to save you. Just bow your head, and then we're going to pray a prayer, and then I'm going to ask you to come, everyone to come in just a moment. But Father, as you mind playing Amazing Grace? Do you mind? Father, as our heads are bowed and as our eyes are closed, and we thank you for this wonderful celebration of a baby dedicated. But I pray that you would just touch hearts, that all the children will be in. This life is so fleeting, and time is drawing short. And I pray that many this morning will do this, will ask Jesus to save them. Recognize the great need. With your head bowed and your eye closed this morning, this is personal. Not for your spouse, not for your family, not for your friends. This is personal. Right where you are, head bowed, eye closed. Do you know Jesus? Will you ask him into your heart? Will you surrender? Will you say today is today? And if you will, I want you to pray this prayer. Pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today, and I need to be saved. Your word says, nevertheless, you save them. Would you do that for me? Oh, forgive me of every sin. I surrender my life to you, to come to your house, to read your word, to tell others. Forgive me and save me today. I pray. Make that your prayer. Make it your prayer. I pray, young person in your 20s, make it your prayer. Older person in your 70s, or maybe middle-aged man, please pray this prayer. Business owner, pray this prayer. Mother, pray this prayer. Grandmothers, pray this prayer. Uncles and aunts and deacons and Sunday school. Everyone, pray this prayer. Oh, Lord, forgive me and cleanse me and save me today. And I know that you will nevertheless save me. Let's start from the top.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Would you stand? Would you stand?
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I've found, was blind, but now I see.
All right, here's what we're going to do. I want us to come to the front. I know some have to leave at this time, but I want as many as would to gather around the front here as we close in the altar call, and we're going to sing it again. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God.
Come on down.
Praise God. Praise God.
Oh, praise. Are all the children in?
Praise God.
Are all the children in? Ask God to save your family. Ask God to save
praise
your friends.
God. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
When we've been there. There's a nevertheless coming in your life.
Yes,
I don't care what people say. I don't care what the naysayers say. I don't care what your family or friends may say. I don't care what the news media said. Nevertheless, our God is alive. Our God is on the throne. Nevertheless, He saved them. Do you believe He's still in the saving business? Do you believe He's still in the healing business? Give Him a hand of praise. Nevertheless, nevertheless. Well, glory to God. Well, I've had a stroke, but nevertheless, brother, you're going to sing and you're going to preach the word of God, you and your wife together. Nevertheless, somebody shout hallelujah. Nevertheless. Well, I started a business. Sometimes it's not good, but nevertheless, God's going to send some help and God's going to send some customers. Somebody shout amen. I know that I've been through some tests and some trials. And I know some people hadn't treated me right. I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about general. Nevertheless, can you just lift your hand and thank Him? Nevertheless, Lord, is it going to change? It's going to change. It's not going to stay the same. God's about to change it. He's about to turn it around. Nevertheless, Sister Barbara, they told her it might get worse, but nevertheless, God's still working. Amen?
Amen?
Sister, don't you ever give up. My God is a nevertheless God. He's got a plan for your child. He's got a plan for you. You are not forgotten. You're not a second-rate person. God has a purpose. He loves you. Nevertheless, nevertheless. Somebody say, nevertheless. Nevertheless, my sister. Those children are all the children in. Come on. Has anybody got some lost children? Brother Ricky, you don't know how tough my children are. Nevertheless, I read where the Apostle Paul was killing people, Christians. But nevertheless, woo, I tell you what, we might as well have church, amen. We might as well have, it doesn't matter what people say or people do. And I'm going to tell you something, I felt this in my spirit. I don't care if people get in trouble with the law, if people get locked up. Sometimes I'll open the paper and I'll see people who've been arrested, and I'll look at their faces and my heart goes out to them. And I'm thinking, if I can ever tell them, you might be locked up, but nevertheless, God can do a work in the jailhouse and in the church house and in the schoolhouse. Well, give him another hand of praise. Nevertheless, I'm in honor of Dr. Pastor Jerry Nelson. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I got some chains. I got some chains. But what? Nevertheless. He's a chain breaker. Can't do it one time with Pastor Jerry. We got to do it at least twice. Amen. Nevertheless. Father, as we close this service today, I declare nevertheless over your people. And Lord, I pray somebody got saved today, for the gospel was preached, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Tell three people you're blessed and highly favored.